great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Even a little wind can't keep us from church. Just a few quick announcements today. Be sure and fill out your Connect cards and drop them in the offering plate as they come in. You'll find them in your bulletin. That's your registration of your attendance and your information if you'd like to be on our mailing list or receive information via email through the church office. So be sure and do that and drop that in the offering plate as well. A reminder of Leadership Council, we're going to be having a planning meeting on Tuesday at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. So I believe we're going to have a light dinner prepared. Bob's going to bring dinner for us. So be sure, if you're part of Leadership Council, to be there at 6:30 on Tuesday. We're going to talk about some things and the direction we want to go with our church and some new initiatives that we'd like to put forward. So be sure and be there for that if you're on Leadership Council. The Lenten Bible study is beginning this week. Can you believe we're in Lent? We had Ash Wednesday this past week, and we started the season of Lent, this journey that leads us up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. So if you'd like to join us, the name of that study is The Creed by Adam Hamilton, and we're going to have a great time with that through this season of Lent. So please join us for that. A reminder that our rummage sale is next Saturday. The combined United Methodist women and men are combining for our big garage sale of the year, so we need help with that as well. Thursday and Friday will be setup days, and then here for the sale on Saturday. If you can help out with that, it would be greatly appreciated. You'll find more information on that in your bulletin as well. I'd like to remind you, last week I reminded you of the red shirts that are on sale now. There's a bulletin insert for that as well, and you can see Ruthie Rawson back there in the fellowship hall after church if you'd like to order one of these nice red shirts. We just got my special order. Omar the tent maker got around to making mine, so you can find that one, and you can get yours made to fit as well. So be sure and see Ruthie for that. Good news from last week's Blanket Sunday. This is the most money you all have given towards Blanket Sunday. Last Sunday, you all gave $1,336. A great opportunity for mission for us as a church to partner with them in that endeavor. So thank you all very much for being a part of that. Be sure to read your bulletins. There's a lot of good stuff in there. The United Methodist Women's Spring Banquet is coming up at the end of the month. A lot of good things happening in the life of this church. So be sure and participate where you can for that as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. of our loneliness. On the treacherous paths, God's guidance is ours. We will walk in God's way of wisdom and truth. Come to hear, come to learn. Come to the hiding place of God. Here we find grace, here we find love. Here we will worship and pray. Faithful God, strengthen us for the journey ahead. Guide us with your knowledge and your love. Send your Spirit to drive us and guide us where we need to go. Ever closer to you and your ways. In the holy name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen.
And the second one is 2 Corinthians 3:17. The first one, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. And the second one, it goes in our second verse, is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Please join us.
Well, when you do things that are against God, or that God says, no, I I don't want you to do that, and you do it, we call that a sin for us adults. And us adults, we know all about sin, don't we? Any of you never sin? Yeah, that would be a couple. I didn't think it'd be you. No, I meant the last. I didn't mean the last 5 minutes. You know, they're just as bad as you are, anyway. So what I'm talking about today is that when someone around us convinces us that doing something wrong is a good idea, we shouldn't fall for that trick, should we? We should always say, Jesus, what would you have me do here? If every time we get in trouble at home, have you ever thought, Jesus, what would you do here? Have you thought that? Try to think of that. Try to come up with that being your first thought when your parents or grandparents or somewhere that you're at, someone says, hey, would you do this for me? And you say, no, I don't want to do that. Next thing you think should be, Jesus, what would you have me do? Jesus was a servant. Sometimes, do you think Jesus really liked to wash people's feet? Do you like to wash them?
No.
The feet stink? The feet smell? I take my shoes off. My wife reminds me that my feet smell. So Jesus was a servant. And Jesus was without sin, right? Well, our message today is going to talk about how we sin and how we can't hardly help ourselves from sin. But what I want you to remember today is that just because someone says it sounds like a good idea, don't always fall for that old trick, okay? Think about it. Maybe ask Jesus, Jesus, what would you do here? Okay? Good. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these beautiful children, these beautiful young people today, Lord. Their spirit is just so infectious and they're so filled with joy. Father, I pray that they would live out their lives living in this joy. So, Father, be with them, keep them safe, keep them forever joyful in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, some of you going off to Sunday school? Going with Miss Jane, okay? See ya. They are sweet, such sweet children, but isn't it easy how we can be duped so easily? We trust. We don't trust in the right things. The right things. It's a time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. And we've got some prayer requests lifted up this morning. To keep your list from your bulletins this week in your possession as well so you can be in prayer this week. I hope you were able to be in prayer this week. I asked you last Sunday to be in prayer for praying our way forward through our denomination for the guidance and inspiration of the committee that's seeking how we're going to keep the United Methodist Church unified. So continue to pray for that movement, praying our way forward as well this week. Barbara Miller, she did go home last Saturday, I believe, from the hospital. She's in the hospice care at home, so continue to pray for Barbara. She certainly wanted to come to church, and I thought she might maybe be here today with her son and daughter-in-law, but keep Barbara in your prayers for sure. And Tom Holman, Chuck, did Tom go home? Tom home, right? Okay. Chuck's brother, Tom, as well. Keep him in your prayers. We continue to pray for Anna, Barbara Russell's daughter, as well as she's still undergoing some testing and testing for possible liver cancer. So keep her in your prayers as well. Karen, it's good to see you in church today. Continue to pray for you. Continue to pray for Karen and her cancer treatments and her husband David as well. He's had a heart procedure and foot surgery, so a lot of healing to take place in that home. And Devin as well. Devin was up here this morning. We continue to pray for Devin. A Christian friend, a member of the friend family, is having knee surgery. So keep him in your prayers as well. I can tell Destiny Hart was growing up because she's got an issue with her right eye, but I can't even say it, so it's some sort of a hemorrhage in her eye. So keep Destiny in your prayers as well. My Aunt Phyllis, Mom's sister, is in the hospital after suffering a fall as well. We continue to pray for Scott Pyle. That surgery once again on his leg, so continue to pray for Scott. Charles Willis is asking for prayers for our finances and health and just a better job. Charles will continue for that in that prayer as well. And a praise, happy birthday, Bob. Well, happy birthday, Bob. So blessed to have him here now. I know there's many things on your heart this morning that you bring. Let's now take them to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful to be in this place. This place that allows us to freely and openly worship a God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Father, today we have lifted up these folks by name. But there are many within our hearts and within our souls that have gone unspoken this morning. Father, I pray for healing wherever it is needed. Physical healing, emotional healing. Father, those of us that feel ourselves far from God. Those of us that find ourselves lost in the wilderness. Father, I pray today that an opening will be found on the road back to you. So, Father, today we come to you of a worshipful nature. Father, we pray that you would be in our midst, that your Holy Spirit is residing within each one of us, and that we can be the light in the darkened world. Father, I pray today for those that are lost. Those that are lost within our very midst. Those feeling removed from the body of Christ. Father, today I pray that we all can start a new journey during Lent. A journey that would bring us into right relationship with you. Father, today I pray that we could be a people of light, a people of hope, and a people of joy. Father, as the children demonstrate to us, their joy can be contagious. Let us be seen by this world as people who spread joy. Father, our world is suffering. War and famine, disease and distress. All these things take us away from our walk with you. Our focus becomes self-preservation, becomes on survival at any cost. Father, I pray that our world would open its eyes and seek you. Father, I pray that we could be a nation of influence around the world, a people that seek to do good. People of reconciliation. A people that reaches out to others. So Father, today as we celebrate Holy Communion, I pray that our lives would be strangely changed in a good way. For some of us, it would be strange to walk with the Lord. It would be something we're unaccustomed to. But today I pray that it would become normal for us. So Father, be with us now in this time of worship. We love you. We seek your peace and grace that are so freely given. Let us accept the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we bring our offering this morning seeking your blessing upon it. Father, bless our meager offerings to help in the kingdom building. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Delicious food, and that the tree would provide wisdom.
So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then they both saw clearly and knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made garments for themselves. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do stand before you naked, even in our clothes this morning. Father, you see through us. You see our sin. Father, you see us for who we are. Father, I pray this message today would open our eyes to the need for Jesus and for the fig leaves that he provides for us. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So my friend Ryan and I have been walking on Friday afternoon, but this Friday I was very busy in a meeting. There was a spring training game on Friday afternoon, so I was in a spring training game and we were not able to walk. So Ryan and I got together yesterday and we walked around the lake. We've been doing that every week now for about 3 weeks. When he pulled up, he saw the sign out front here. Do you need more fig leaves? He had no idea what that meant. So he asked me, where are you going with this? When I explained my intention behind it, do you notice most of the time when you ride by and you see our marquee out here, you're like, what does that mean? Does it make you think? And that's why I chose this message, this title, this message. What I wanted you to think about is, what did the fig leaves do for Adam and Eve? It hid their nakedness. Once they had eaten the fruit, they thought being naked was not a good thing. So they made garments of the fig leaves. So where I want you to think about this message today is, why do we need a Savior? We need a Savior because we can't help ourselves. You know, growing up, I grew up in the church and spent my early childhood in church. And to be honest, when I could miss church, I would. But you know what? I never doubted that there was a God. I never doubted that there was a Savior that would save me from my sin. I had no idea what that meant. I thought, I'm a pretty good person. What's a sin? I don't think I sinned. All the while I was sinning. You ever notice when we're in the midst of our sin, we can justify it to ourselves that we're okay. I can stop any time. But why should I? So I ask you today, why do we need a Savior? Most of us, some of us, maybe one of us, grew up in a Christian family. A godly life was, I mean, I don't know. We went to church, but Mom, I'm going to say my mother sat here, so we'll have this conversation after church, I'm sure. I knew we were Christians. Nothing negative against her, but I don't remember reading the Bible. There was Bibles on the coffee table. But I don't remember us opening them. And that's probably true for a lot of us. But you know what? I never doubted the love in our house. My parents loved us. I didn't doubt that. That was a given. I knew there was a God. And I knew this God sent Jesus as a Savior. But apparently we didn't talk about it a lot, so maybe we weren't that bad. But folks, we need a Savior. And our scripture today, good old Adam and Eve. Boy, we're going back to the beginning, aren't we? And Adam says, God, that woman you gave me. My wife and I just had this conversation. Adam tried to blame God. God, I was fine until you gave me that woman. I love you. You remember from our scripture, God had a plan, didn't he? You know what God's original plan was for Adam and Eve? From the very beginning, God wanted to be in relationship with us. He wanted to be our family. Earlier in Genesis, chapter 1 and verses 26, he starts by saying, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God wanted us to be like him. Look at your neighbor sitting next to you. Does that look like God to you? We were made in God's image. We were made exactly like him. From looking around and seeing that the diversity and the different faces, no two faces in this place look alike. And we all look like God. That God must be pretty awesome and big, huh?
Amen.
We have God's DNA in us. We look like our Father. I saw my brothers the other night. You know, they're getting old. They knew they were going to live this long. They should have taken better care of themselves. That's my line, but I'm going to use it on them. But you know what? They're starting to look like my dad. I look like my mom. Isn't she a beautiful woman? And Terry, don't roll your eyes at me. The Bransons were full of humility. That's why we need more fig leaves, amen? Because we're liars too. But God said, let's make them in our image. You are made in God's image. And verse 26 tells us to have dominion over everything you see. Now, I'm okay with that, aren't you? Let me rule over the world. We'll be good. Just don't do one thing. How many of us in this room, if you were told you could do anything you want to do in the whole wide world except one thing, we would become obsessed with doing the one thing we were told not to do, wouldn't we? That's our nature, isn't it? Thank you, Adam, very much for instilling that in our nature. Adam blamed Eve, we can blame Adam. Because you know what? Adam was sitting right there with Eve and hearing this conversation and taking it all in. And, you know, you thought Adam would say, hey, wait a minute, we had, you know, God said we would die. But he blessed them, male and female, to go out and multiply and make you and me in their image. We must be pretty special, aren't we? But Adam changed God's original plan. Here again, let's blame the man. Adam changed God's plan. God put Adam there to keep track of everything going on in the nice garden. Eat of anything you want, but don't do this one thing. Why was this stated by God? There's one thing I do not want you to do. And God explained this to Adam. You do this one thing and you're going to die. Does anyone know how old Adam lived? How old was Adam? Genesis 5:5. Anybody know? 930 years. I'm tired of 56. Good grief. You would almost think Adam was going to live forever, weren't you? It seems like Adam was put here for a purpose, and he was. If he was to fill the earth with his offspring, I guess it took him a little while. I like what Genesis 5:5 says. He did all these things to make us who we are today. The Bible says in Genesis 5:5, let's read that. Because I like how simple he put it. In all, Adam lived 930 years and he died. I do a lot of funerals. If I could go to a funeral and say, yep, this person lived 930 years and he died. Have a nice day. Give me my money and let's go. Let's go have a reception. The Bible really doesn't give us a whole lot of history about Adam's later years. He lived 930 years and he made a lot of babies and then he died. But what Adam gave us was he rebelled against God, didn't he? Has anyone lived part of their life rebelling God? Rebelling against God? Telling God, you know what? I got this for right now. Things are going pretty well. I think they're pretty good. And then the train wreck happens, the wheel falls off, or something happens and says, God, why did you forsake me? You heard those words before? Father, why have you forsaken me? Who said those words? So I guess if we use those words, we're in good company, Kevin. We've been in good company. But Jesus also says, our only hope is through Him. Jesus was human. He suffered like we suffer. He went to the cross. That's what this 40 days of Lent is about. It's thinking about when Jesus went for us. Jesus could have avoided the cross. Do you realize that? He could have said, you know what? I got a better idea. That Jesus honored his Father. And he went to the cross. And just as we have been born into sin, in our sinful nature, we don't really have a choice anymore. Original sin, you heard it. Adam has condemned us to death. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live 930 years. I don't know this for sure, but I think the reason God doesn't allow us to live so long anymore is because of Jesus, our suffering, His honor, and our death when we get to be with Jesus and God. I'm sure during Adam's 930 years, he had a lot of tough times. He watched his son kill the other son. He saw civilizations and people come and go. He saw what sin can do to us. And sin hurts us. And then he died. Folks, I told you on Ash Wednesday, if you were here, statistics tell us that one in one people are going to die. One out of one people are going to die. And we don't know how long we're going to be here. I've done funerals for young people. I've done funerals for old people. There's no set number of years for each one of us. But while we're here, we're to seek a relationship with Jesus. We are to declare that sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin has no power. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouths, and believe in Jesus with our whole heart, God will raise us from the dead. That's reassurance. We are redeemed. I hope you feel redeemed this morning. I hope you feel that your time on earth has been productive. Now, I'm sure even if we were to live 930 years, not every day of our life would be productive. I think sometimes God only has us be productive for maybe a minute for our lives. Maybe for a week of our lives. Maybe for 18 years of our lives. Maybe for 50 years of our lives. We're all different. We're all different people made in the image of God. You might have been placed here to be a parent to a child, to be a co-worker of someone who's lost a close friend or a spouse. You may have been put here to feed a homeless person standing in the median of Lakeport Road. I wish I knew what your purpose was so I could tell you. So many of you tell me, what's my purpose? What am I here for? I don't know. I don't know what I'm here for. So don't ask me what you're here for. I just know you're here for something that has something to do with God. God wouldn't have made you into His image if He didn't have a plan for you. So I want you to leave here today knowing that God loves you, that you're precious to Him, and to live up to your DNA. Don't give up. Live up to your image in whom you're made. You know, another way we know that God loves us is right here. This was nothing until Jesus made it something. This was nothing. Everybody did this. And for over 2,000 years, we've been doing it over and over and over again. So that we can what? Remember what Jesus did for us. This is about remembering, folks. So this morning, we're here to remember this gift. Hear these words. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift your mind to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, You bore up the ark of the water, save Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And on your holy mountain, he heard your still small voice. And so now with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us the new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On that night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, Father, bless this, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. Each time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. So, as we proclaim the mystery of death, Christ is alive, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Father God, thank you for this gift. Father, as we come to your table this morning, we come in remembrance of the Son that gave his all for us. Father, we thank you for this gift of eternal life. We thank you for one another. We thank you for being made in your image. And for our brothers and sisters around us, we see you in them as well. So Father, bless our time. Let us be the hands and feet of Christ to the world. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Receive this benediction as we leave this place made in the image of God Himself. Father, bless us now as we go from this place, and let us shine your light to a darkened world. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.